Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Chag HaSukkah, it's Chag Simchaseinu. I remind you that Chag Simchaseinu is not a time just to be happy, but a time to be Mishameach with the Mitzvah Hashem, to perform the Mitzvah of the Yantif with great Simcha. There's a little Vatikin to shake the Lulav and Eshmig on the first day of Sukkot, the only day that's Saraisha, at sunrise at Netzachama in Brooklyn, on the first day of Sukkot is 7:05. That's not very early, although for young this morning some people may find it is. And to get up early and to be ready and at the first moment of Netzachama to shake one's lulav and esbig in the sukkah is a wonderful hiddur of the mitzvah as we prepare to rejoice with Chag Simchaseinu. I'd like to share with you today a couple of thoughts regarding the mitzvah sukkah and something regarding Parsha Seis HaBracha. Let's begin. I'd like to share with you a sidestick idea regarding the sukkah, which is actually a brach al Rambam, something from Rav Chaim Brisker. Before we get to Rav Chaim, we start with a question of simple type, the translation of the word sukkah. What is a sukkah? Is a sukkah, as it's used in the vernacular, a hut, a building? The entire building is called a sukkah. That's the way people speak. Or, perhaps, the word sukkah is a reference to the schach, to the ceiling of the sukkah. Now, to the great surprise of many people, the arayis, the lurais, they are clear gemaras, that seem to say that the sukkah, the word sukkah that's used in Tanakh and by Chazal, is a reference to the schach. Now, one of these is on Dav Beis Amud Aleph, the very first Amud of the Masechta. The Gemara there talks about the fact that the sukkah is not allowed to be too high. The tzach of the sukkah cannot be more than 20 amis off the ground. And the Gemara brings a number of reasons. One is the following. The Pasuk says, sukkah tia l'tzel yayimam. The sukkah should serve as a shade in the, during the day. And the Gemara says the following. Until 20 amis, when the schach is within 20 amis, Adam Yeshev Bitzel Sukkah. Someone is sitting in the shade of the sukkah. When Mailam Yestram Amma, when it's higher than 20 amis, Ein Adam Yeshev Bitzel Sukkah, Ela Bitzel Bifanes. The person is no longer sitting in the shade of the sukkah, only in the shade of the walls. Now, if the walls are also part of the sukkah, it doesn't really matter how high the kach is. The person is always in the shade of the sukkah. Obviously, Adam Yeshev Bitzel Sukkah means a person is sitting in the shade of the kach, of the ceiling. As the Gemara says, Mamai Vami Esprim Ein Adam Yeshev Bitzel Sukkah. Ela Bitzel Defanes. We see, therefore, that at least in the technical use of the word sukkah is a reference the schach, specifically, the ceiling of the sukkah. Later, in the Sech de Sukkah, and that's the Beit Amid Aleph, the Gemara learns a number of halachais from the Pasuk of the Torah, which says, Chag HaSukkah is Tase Lecha. For example, it says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkah is Tase Lecha, Ha'os Lecha, Migarnecha U'miyikdecha. At the time of the year, when you're gathering things in from your silo, umiyafecha, and to the place you store your wine and your grapes. From here the Gemara learns that schach is made of things that grow from the ground. Which is next to chag hasukkah is tasalacha. From here we learn that the sukkah is made from stylus garin v'yekev, from things that grow from the ground. Now, obviously, we're only learning regarding the schach, not regarding the walls. We're saying the sukkah is made from stylus garin v'yekev, but once again, we see that the schach is what we refer to by the word sukkah. In other drasha on Daf Yud Beis, we learn out, sukkah is tasa lecha, tasa v'loy min ha'osui. There's a rule in the sukkah that the sukkah has to be made by the person. The layman asks me, and it can't be something which is made by itself, so to speak. There are a number of halachas, so I'll mention one, which is understood from this Gemara. Now, when you build a sukkah, one may not put the schach up on the support before he builds the wall. If you put the schach first, at that time it's not yet a kosher sukkah. Later, when you add the walls, it becomes kosher. Now that is a p'tul of a sukkah. Sometimes I've seen it in front of stores. They put up the sukkah. They put up a frame. Some workers put on the schach. Other workers put on the walls. If the schach is up before the kosher walls, that's p'tul. Taseh v'leim l'has. This p'tul taseh v'leim l'has too is only on the schach. It's not a halacha on the walls. So we see once again the concept that a drasha we learn from the word stukah is a reference to the schach specifically. So that's our lesson in Taich, that the word stukah is actually a reference to schach. Where does Rav Chaim Brisker come in? The Gemara darshens from Chag HaSukah is that the sukah is muktzah. That is to say, Hagiga dumya to sukah, and a person may not use the sukkah for a personal benefit. The person cannot break off a whole piece of wood from the sukkah to pick his teeth, or something of that nature, because we learn dinei muktzah from the words chakasukas. Now the Rosh says that only the schach is muktzah, but the Rambam says that the walls are muktzah as well. Now here we have a difficulty. The problem is that we just established the rule that the word sukkah is a reference to the schach specifically. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Daf Yudbei says, Kulam Kterim L'Defanais. Then anything we learn about the sukkah is kosher in the walls. And then the Rambam says that the rule of muktzah applies to the walls. This is a difficulty. And so, I'll share with you Reb Chaim Brisker's Yisai. You're capable of it. On Yom Tov, you want to have some Oynig Yom Tov, take out the Brech al Rambam. Many of you have not done it for many years. And turn to Dinei Sukkah. And there Reb Chaim deals with this question. And he says, Yisai, Kedarkai, that there are two dinim. The things that have to do with the construction of the sukkah. Any halacha that has to do with the physical construction of the sukkah, such as Tzelus Garaviyagev, or Tassav Olamin Ha'asoi, or the height, that's a din in the sukkah, in the schach alone. Then there are things that are dine sukkah, rules of the sukkah. Nothing to do with the physical construction, but rules in the halacha of the sukkah, the fact that the sukkah is muktzah, for example. And those dinim apply to the sukkah entirely, not to the schach alone, because logically, it's the din that it's muktzah, that it's set aside for its mitzvah, should apply to the whole sukkah. The nice Yisai from Reb Chaim, was there more time, I would talk about it longer. But look, at the Brach al Rambam, you'll enjoy it. We have time afterwards, the Brach al Hashas, Reb Chaim's Kiddushin, with the Ashua that are printed in al Hashas, in the Sechta Sukkah, there is a piece added to the Brach al Rambam on this idea regarding the idea of Sukkah Gezula. Look here and you'll enjoy, I guess, nothing wrong with giving a little bit of homework. Let's move on to a second topic. The second topic is a Musar idea, and it has to do with Parshas Beis HaBracha. I have had four aliyas now to Levi, for Parshas Beis HaBracha. As a Levi, they read, Ula Levi Amar, Tumecha V'urecha L'ish Asidecha, Asher Nesisai B'Masa, Tumevei Amei Meriva. We've been reading, and I'd like to talk about the meaning of these words. Ula Levi Amar, Tumecha V'urecha L'ish Asidecha. We're obviously referring to Aaron HaKayin, the holy man from Shevet Levi. And obviously, what he performed, what he accomplished in his extraordinary way is something that everyone in Shevet Levi has to strive to accomplish. And therefore, as an example, we hold up Aaron HaKayin. Tumecha v'urecha l'ish asidecha. He wore the Urim v'Tumim. Asher nesisai b'masa. You tested him at Masa to reveyu, and you argued with him, Amei Meriva. What is this referring to? Amei Meriva, we know, is the episode in Parshat Kukas, where Moshe and Aaron were punished for hitting the rock rather than talking to the rock. But what is Asher Nesisai B'Masa? What is Masa? Masa is an episode of Parshas Mishpatim, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Aaron HaKohen is not even mentioned in the entire Parsha. What does he have to do with that episode, which is called there Masa Umeriva? And how does Aaron HaKohen come in? Rav Schwab, in his Sefer on Parshas Ayis HaBracha, has a explanation, which when we understand it properly, is a tremendous muster. He says, we have to understand Aaron HaKohen's Nisyonos as follows. At Masa, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take the take the stick with which you hit the Yamsuf, and take it now in front of Klal Yisrael, and perform this wondrous miracle, and bring water forth from the rock. Aaron HaKohen was standing there. He knew that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the Yamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu had been commanded to hit the Yamsuf and had made Aaron HaKohen a shliach. As Rashi says in Parsha Shemais, that the Yamsuf which protected Moshe Rabbeinu was not hit by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Aaron was standing there, and he could easily have said, wait, Moshe Rabbeinu, let me do this. If the whole Klal Yisrael was thirsty, and a great miracle was about to occur. Asher Nesisei Demasa, Aaron HaKohen was tested, and in Masa he stayed silent. Being quiet is sometimes a hard and difficult thing to do. Asher Nesisei Demasa, he kept quiet at Masa, that was his Nesayan. To Rizeyu Almei Meriva. Later, the second time water was to come forth from the stone, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the stone. Again, he took the stick and went to hit it. And here, not only was Moshe Rabbeinu punished, but Aaron too. Aaron, why were you silent? You should have spoken up. You should have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, don't hit the stone. Now, if I was Aaron HaKohen, I would say, Rabbi Nishmael, you tested me and I was quiet when I had to be quiet. So is it a surprise that now I let Moshe Rabbeinu do what he understood? No, we learn from here that Aaron HaKohen was held to a standard where when it's time to be quiet, you have to be quiet no matter how hard it is. When it's time to speak up, you have to speak up no matter how difficult. Asher, Nesisei Demasa, Terivei Almei Meriva, that you held him up to such a high standard. Ha'imer Amadus V'li'imai Le'yadadiv, as part of Le'yikir, the Pasuk says that he and all the Shevet Levi was held to a, health standard, to a high standard. When their close relatives did something wrong, they ignored the fact that we're related. They didn't say, it's my relative, I have to stand by him. No. As part of even his own children, Yoda, he didn't recognize. They said, no. The job of Shevet Levi is to recognize Ratzon Hashem, no matter how difficult it is. And that's the need of Shevet Levi, that no matter how difficult the moment is, to always be able to stand up and do what has to be done. And so this is the shining example of Aaron HaKohen and Shevet Levi, as Rav Schwab explains it. Before signing off, I'd like to share with you a question or two that I've had recently regarding Mitzvah Sukkah. Question number one. We just discussed that nice sukkah and the sukkah walls and the sukkah roof are all muktzah, huktzah mitzvah site. That's something we know. The fact that it extends to nice sukkah is a clear halach in Shulchan Aruch. If someone puts flowers on the table in the sukkah, why aren't they considered nice sukkah? Why do we only consider something to be nice sukkah if it's stapled to the walls or hanging from the istach? Aren't flowers on the table nice sukkah? Now, if that's true, it would be also to take them in, to remove them from the sukkah on sukkahs, something that I believe people do. I'm not saying the halacha is that you're not allowed to take it in. But rather, I'm asking why. Why should flowers on the table be any different than flowers stapled to the wall or hanging from the schach? The muktzah is not related to the fact that it takes a malacha to remove it. The muktzah is related to the fact that it's nice sukkah. One sarachian. Sarachian number two, the second one came up just recently because we're learning Masechtas Bava Kamma in yeshiva. There's a famous thought from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said that once a person falls asleep in the sukkah, when he's in a state of sleeping, he has a din of a shaita. And at that stage, somebody else is allowed to cover the schach. Let's say someone's afraid of rain during the night. And perhaps his child fell asleep in the sukkah. He doesn't want it to rain on him. The explain is almost talk was that once he's sleeping, he has a din of a shaita, and you're allowed to cover the schach. This talk is brought in a number of places, including the Sefer HaSukkah, which is a beautiful compendium of Hilchos Sukkah, and I think it's a well-known psak. We had a difficulty, because in the Masechtas Bava Kamma, on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in the Gemara, and later Dalet Amud Aleph, Taisus brings Yerushalmi, there's a discussion regarding someone who is sleeping, and in his sleep turns over and breaks something, is mazik. And here, the discussion is that Adam Ud La'ilam, that a person is responsible for all his actions, Bein Er, Bein Yoshein, whether he's up or asleep. Question. The halacha is that a shaita is not responsible for his actions. A katan or shaita who is mazik, who does damage, is potter, not is obligated to pay. The American idea that parents have to pay when a child is mazik is not true in halacha. A child is mazik, or a shaita who is mazik, is potter. If we take the slang as almost back, literally, that somebody who is asleep has a din shaita in the eyes of halacha, then tzarech in gadol. Why is it that the rule of Adam Ud La'ilam applies to someone who is sleeping? Perhaps some of you who learned Bava Kamma in Tarvadas 5 years ago will remember that we discussed that in Shir at that time. I guess that was in September of 05. And if you have your notes, dig them up. But for now, wishing everybody a good Yom Tov, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, you should have a Simcha, this Chag, a Simcha and Kiyum Mitzvahs, that's what it's all about. A good Yom Tov to all. Next week in Yitz Hashem, on Monday, Chol HaMoed, we'll try to do this again, and we'll try, as I did last year, to come up with a couple of stories, so that the Shir will be suitable. So the children who may be traveling with you, I'll know Rav Chaim Brisker's next week, will be there. I could jump this to all.